Hong Kong Diploma of Secondary Education, 2019. English Language, Paper 3. Listening and Integrated Skills. Instructions to candidates. You should have on your desk a Part A question-answer book, a Part B1 data file with a Part B1 question-answer book inserted, and a Part B2 data file with a Part B2 question-answer book inserted. Do not open them until you are told to do so. I repeat, do not open the question-answer books or the data files until you are told to do so. Now, write your candidate number in the space provided on page 1 of your Part A question-answer book. Now look at the Part A question-answer book. Check that the Part A question-answer book has no missing pages. Look for the words, "End of Part A, now go on to Part B," on the last page. Now, stick your barcode labels in the spaces provided on pages 1, 3, and 5. Close your Part A question-answer book when you have finished. Now look at your Part B1 data file. Take out the inserted Part B1 question-answer book. Check that your Part B1 data file has no missing pages. Look for the words, "This is the last page of the Part B1 data file," on the last page. Now write your candidate number in the space provided on page 1 of your Part B1 question-answer book. Check that the Part B1 question-answer book has no missing pages. Look for the words, "End of Part B1," on the last page. Now, stick your barcode label in the space provided on page 1. Close the Part B1 question-answer book when you have finished. Now look at the Part B2 data file. Take out the inserted Part B2 question-answer book. Check that the Part B2 data file has no missing pages. Look for the words, "This is the last page of the Part B2 data file," on the last page. Now write your candidate number in the space provided on page 1 of your Part B2 question-answer book. Now check that the Part B2 question-answer book has no missing pages. Look for the words, "End of Part B2," on the last page. Now stick your barcode labels in the spaces provided on pages 1 and 3. Close the Part B2 question-answer book when you have finished. You are reminded that all examination materials will be played once only. This paper is divided into two parts, Part A and Part B. For Part A, you should use a pencil to answer all questions. For Part B, you can use a pen or a pencil. Put up your hand now if you have any difficulties. It is not possible to handle complaints after you have taken the paper. The listening component is about to begin. Keep your earphones on until you are told to take them off. Open your Part A question-answer book at page 3. Part A is about to begin. Part A. Situation. Sarah Lowe is a student at a secondary school. She is also the editor of the school IT Club's online magazine. You will hear several conversations involving Sarah discussing various topics related to young people and IT. In Part A, you will have a total of 4 tasks to do. Follow the instructions in the question-answer book and in the recording to complete the tasks. You will find all the information you need in the question-answer book and the recording. You now have 2 minutes to familiarize yourself with tasks 1 to 4. Task 1. Sarah is meeting with Miss Chan, the school principal, and Miss Reyes, a science teacher at the school, about the school's mobile phone use policy. Listen to the discussion and write the information in the spaces below. The first one has been provided as an example. You now have 30 seconds to study the task. At the end of the task, You will have 1 minute to tidy up your answers.
Good morning, Sarah. Come in. I thought it would be useful to have Miss Reyes here as well to hear about your survey.
Good morning, Sarah.
Hello.
Okay, so as I was saying, Miss Reyes, Sarah, and her team at our IT Club online magazine have been doing a survey where they've been asking students about mobile phone use during the school day. So, Sarah, maybe you can give us some more details.
Yes, and thank you for seeing me today. Well, we're writing an article about the survey, and we thought it would be good to include your comments as well in the article.
Okay, fine.
The first issue we asked about was when we can use our phones during the school day. At the moment, we're only allowed to use our phones until 8:45 in the morning, and we can't use our phones during class.
Oh, I thought you could use your phones until 8:55.
No, only until 8:45.
Okay, my mistake.
So students think the policy is outdated.
What do you mean by outdated? What would students like to change?
Well, I think they'd like the policy to be more flexible.
I see. And this is the feedback from the school survey you did? Sorry, can you tell us more about it?
Yes. We did a survey to ask students about why they want to use their phones, and lots of students responded. We heard from 64 junior students and 150 senior students, so that's 214 students in total.
214? That's a lot of responses. I'm impressed. Well done to the IT Club. What were the main requests from students from the survey then?
Well, the most popular requests were that students would like to use their phones for 30 minutes at lunchtime and when walking between classes.
Walking between classes? Absolutely not. Students would never arrive on time. Half an hour at lunchtime is fair, but certainly not between classes. There's just enough time and no more.
Oh, okay. What else? Oh, yeah. They also said they'd like permission to use their phones during physics and language classes.
Why during those classes specifically?
Well, they'd like to use them in physics classes so they can use calculator apps. And they want to use them in language classes for online dictionaries. They said they think this would be really helpful for their studies, especially for students who are preparing for exams.
What do you think about that idea, Miss Reyes?
I don't agree that you need them in physics classes. Scientific calculators are better than phone calculators. But yes, they could be useful in language classes.
I think you're absolutely right about both points, Miss Reyes. There's no need to use phones during physics class. But using them for online dictionaries is definitely a good idea. Okay. Were there any other issues that came up from the survey?
Yes, there was one other request. Students aren't allowed to charge their phone batteries in classrooms, so they'd like to ask for a battery charging station.
A battery charging station? That's actually a good idea.
Interesting. We'd have to think carefully about where to put it. Did they have any suggestions? The students, I mean.
Well, one place they said was, you know, in the corridor next to the playground.
I'm not so sure about that. There could be problems with security with that.
Yes, I tend to agree with Miss Chan, I'm afraid.
So that's out as a location then. But I still think it's a good idea. Sarah, did you have another suggestion for a location?
The other one was the library.
Okay.
Yeah, that might work. It's certainly popular at lunchtime.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll look into it definitely. Okay. Well, I'll look forward to reading the article in the online magazine.
That is the end of task one. You now have 1 minute to tidy up your answers. Task 2. Sarah is meeting with two other members of the IT club, Aaron and Rachel, to discuss a new app that the school is going to promote to senior students. Listen to the discussion and write the information in the spaces below. The first one has been provided as an example. You now have 30 seconds to study the task. At the end of the task, you will have 1 minute to tidy up your answers.
So we've been asked to give our views on this Mentor Mine app, you know, the one for senior students. They want us to review it in the magazine. I've had it on my phone and I've been giving it a go over the weekend.
What's it called? Mentor Mine? Never heard of it.
Not mental, mentor. Let me show you. Wait a second till I find it on my phone. Right, here it is.
Oh, okay.
Right, so it's an app and it, like, helps you connect with other students from around the world. And so they help each other with things like homework and projects.
Oh, I've heard about this one. It's got really good reviews.
So you're saying you can get help with projects with this?
Yeah, that's the idea anyway.
All right, so how do we get started? Can we have a look at the settings?
Right, settings. Right, here we go. You try it, Rachel.
Oh, okay. Right.
So, see the button with the head and the wheels? Press it.
Right.
Well, here you start by choosing your subjects, your levels for each subject, and your modes. You can select any subjects you like.
Oh, right. So, it looks like there are three starting levels. Beginner, apprentice, and guide. So presumably I'd select guide if I think I know, like, loads about a subject, and beginner or apprentice if I don't.
Exactly.
What about mode? What does that mean?
Okay, well, press it. So you should see there are two modes. The first one is academic. See?
Oh, yeah.
You choose this one if you're preparing for an exam. The other one is hobby, and it's for, like, personal interest only.
Personal interest? Oh, so presumably people can talk about a subject even if, say, they're not studying for an exam? What's this one for? The one with the flag. Is that to choose my country?
Let's try it. Right. Ooh, so it looks like there are two settings here. Country and type of school. But isn't it just for secondary schools?
Yeah, it is, but there are different types of schools in different countries. Like, many Italian schools specialise in just one area. So if Italian teenagers want to specialise in, say, sports coaching, they can choose a school for that subject.
Right.
What's the clock for? Does it tell the time then?
No, no. This is what they call the office hours setting. You keeping up, Rachel?
Yeah, right. Office hours. Ah, because you're like a professor sitting in your office. That's clever.
So with this setting, you can choose your availability each day. You can set a maximum of 2 hours each weekday to ask and answer live questions, and more on weekends, say 3 to 4 hours. You should set your office hours to when you would normally be doing your homework.
Why do they recommend a set time, do you think?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I think the first reason is they want to help students develop good time management skills.
Yeah, I have no time management skills whatsoever. I'm such a deadline fighter.
Yeah, I know. And the other is that it's useful for other students to know exactly when you're available.
Because if they know your availability, then they know when you might be able to answer a question. Makes sense.
So what are these? What are they? Balloons or something?
Yeah, I have no idea why. Anyway, you click this button to go to your feedback settings. You see, each time you help someone, they can give you a vote and then write a message to say thanks. The more votes you get, the sooner you can move up to a higher level.
Okay.
Yeah, it allows you to show or hide the number of votes you've got as well.
Okay, oh, and I can show or hide the messages I've received from people. You know, the ones that I've helped. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. I think it's pretty cool all round, actually.
Yeah, it looks useful.
That is the end of task 2. You now have 1 minute to tidy up your answers. Task 3. Sarah, Rachel, and Aaron are choosing stories about the use of technology around the world to feature in the IT Club's online magazine. Listen to the information and complete the notes below. You now have 30 seconds to study the task. At the end of the task, you will have 1 minute to tidy up your answers.
Right, so what stories have you found then, Rachel?
Okay, I'll go first. I was reading this interesting article about youth boost centres in South Africa that have been set up by the local government.
Okay, so these youth boost centres, are they for teenagers?
Yeah, mainly for young people without a job and who aren't at college. And they join the centre as members.
So why do they sign up?
Well, they can, like, learn loads of different things, like, the centres give them lots of practical practical advice on things like how to start their own companies.
Sounds good. I've always wanted to start my own company. I think I'd like that much more than a boring office job or something.
Yeah, totally. Me too. They also help them learn new workplace skills. Things like writing emails, you know, that sort of thing.
It does sound good. But offering things like workplace skills, isn't that just like any other job centre? What's this got to do with technology?
Well, this one is special. The centres themselves are entirely cash-free, and young people who join can earn virtual money called imali, which means money in Zulu, apparently. You can spend it there, at the centre.
So do they use computers to earn it, just like Bitcoin?
No. They earn this imali in lots of different ways. One of the things they can do is local volunteering. And they can do any kind of volunteering, as long as it's in the local area. Like they might help out a nearby school or help the old people in the community. The other thing they can do is go to personal development workshops.
So they earn for attending?
Yeah.
That's nice. And what do they learn about at these workshops?
You know, like how to not give up when you're dealing with a problem, or how to set yourself goals, things like that.
That sounds pretty cool. What can they buy with this? What's its name?
Imali.
Imali.
Well, as I said, the centres are cash-free, but they can use imali at the centre cafes to buy things like snacks. They can also use the money to pay for online courses.
Can they work on the courses at home too?
I think so, but the centres have computers, so apparently most people prefer to spend time there.
Sounds great. Anything else? I mean, that they can buy with...
imali. Yeah. The other online option is that you can donate imalis to charity.
Does that mean the charity gets imalis? But how is that useful?
No. The Youth Boost Centre gives the charities real money.
But members, they don't earn actual money, but they still like it?
Apparently so.
So what's the big attraction?
Well, from what it said in the article, it's just a place where they can feel a sense of belonging.
Oh, that's really nice. Okay, so it would be good to write in the article what we think. Let's talk about the good points first. Rachel, you were researching it. What do you reckon?
I think they're an excellent idea, mainly because they give people a way to give back to the community. So it's more than just basic welfare.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. What do you think, Aaron?
From what Rachel was saying, I think the best thing seems to be that it lets people learn life skills, like having to deal with money.
All right. What about the cons? Can you see any downsides to this imali system?
Well, the obvious problem that I can see is that actual money is more useful. People need real money to spend on meals, not just snacks, especially if they need to help their families.
Yes, that's a very good point. What about you, Aaron? What do you think?
Well, again, from what Rachel said so far, it's hard to see any bad points. Maybe the only downside I can think of would be it might be vulnerable to hacking. You know, because, well, someone could hack into it online.
That is the end of task 3. You now have 1 minute to tidy up your answers. Task 4. Sarah is interviewing Dr. James Berg, a computer specialist working with the NGO Terraco Solutions for the IT Club's online magazine. Listen to the interview and complete the answers below. Please note that you do not need to answer in complete sentences. You now have 30 seconds to study the task. At the end of the task, you will have 3 minutes to tidy up your answers.
Dr. Berg, thank you for taking the time to meet us today. Can you tell us a bit about the ideas behind Terraco Solutions?
Certainly. Well, Terraco Solutions is an NGO, as you probably know, and we operate in poor and remote areas all over the world. We work in these areas to solve local problems, infrastructure problems mainly.
Oh, really? That's quite interesting. What kind of infrastructure problems?
Well, maybe I can illustrate what we do with a recent redevelopment project in Thailand we were working on, where we built a new bus shelter for a group of commuters. This helped local people deal with an uncomfortable journey to work and school.
And are the projects designed for special groups of people?
Actually, it's the opposite. We really try to embrace diversity in everything we do. So we always try to invite, you know, people who are often overlooked in traditional society. Very often it's these kind of people that don't get to have their say.
Okay, now I'd like...
Sorry, I was going to add, when we're building things like the bus shelter, we invite ideas from the children, as they are the users who are often overlooked.
Well, that all sounds very positive. I'd like to move on to how Terraco Solutions uses technology. You work with AR, augmented reality, is that right?
Yes, that's right. AR mixes digital elements with real life.
It sounds quite technical.
It's the same tech used in the game Pokemon Go, but instead of a monster, you can see things like a new bridge or a staircase. AR is great. I mean, we can literally see the designs as they would appear in real life.
Amazing!
And another thing about AR is that it lets other people see which final designs they like best. This is important because in order to choose the final design, we have a public vote.
Right. Now, AR is new to me, so I imagine it is probably a new concept for most of the people you're dealing with. So how do you deal with that?
Well, that's a good point. Everybody who's selected to join the project must attend a 3-day AR training program.
Okay.
And for some users, it's actually the first time they've ever used a computer. So it's an essential part of the process.
Can you tell us what your favourite project has been so far?
Well, I think one of the most memorable developments has been the Kerala project in India.
Okay, and what did that entail?
Well, this was a project designed to improve a riverside path to a market. There were several things we had to address. We had to build in safety measures into the design to help deal with flash floods for a start. That was important. Plus, one special thing about this project was that the children who used the route gave us important information. They, the children, told us that actually the area had a problem with a lot of dangerous pests, especially snakes. So again, we built in features to deal with that.
Right.
This project also taught us a lot about building trust. I mean, many of the locals were quite doubtful at first.
Did they explain why?
Well, yes, they did. They told us about a similar project in the village a few years before that had been left unfinished, and actually never was finished.
So I suppose they would have been worried that the same thing might happen to your project, that it wouldn't be finished either.
Precisely. Which I think is fair enough. I think it was a genuine concern. The other reason why they were quite doubtful about it was to do with what would happen after we left. They were worried that there would be no one to maintain the path once we'd gone.
Again, another genuine worry. So how did you change their minds?
Well, we had to convince them that we aren't just another temporary volunteer project, that we wouldn't just leave. What really helped was another piece of technology, one that could continue to support the Kerala project long after construction had finished.
Oh, yeah? And what was that?
Well, we set up webcams that deliver a live feed 24 hours a day on our webpage. It's a win-win for everyone. It means that for the local users, we can easily see areas where the path had deteriorated. The webcams are great for that, so it's been a great success.
And for Turaco Solutions, what were the benefits? You said it was a win-win situation.
Oh, yes. Sorry. It also means that we at Turaco Solutions can get more funding as we promote our work online using the images.
OK. Thank you so much for telling us about Turaco Solutions today.
That is the end of Task 4 and of Part 3A. You now have 3 minutes to complete your answers to task 4 and to tidy up all your other answers. Part B. Look at page 2 of your data file. Situation. You are Nico Lin. You are the secretary for the Inter-School Visual Media Society. You assist Mr. Ringo Chow, your school's audiovisual teacher, and the vice chair of the Inter-School Visual Media Society. The society is currently organizing its annual Visual Media Festival, which will take place in June. Mr. Ringo Chow has asked you to do some tasks. You will listen to a recording of a video conference discussion between Ms. Myra Ray, the chair of the Inter-School Visual Media Society, and Ringo Chow. Take notes under the appropriate headings. Before the recording is played, you will have 5 minutes to study the question-answer book and the data file to familiarize yourself with the situation and the tasks. Complete the tasks by following the instructions in the question-answer book and on the recording. You will find all the information you need in the question-answer book, the data file, and on the recording. As you listen, you can make notes on page 3 of the data file. You now have 5 minutes to familiarize yourself with the question-answer book and the data file. The recording is about to begin. Turn to page 3 of the data file.
Hi there, Ringo.
Hi, Myra. Hi.
Okay, well, I thought we should follow up on the committee meeting we had last week. You know, just to see where we are at as regards the Visual Media Festival.
Okay, yeah.
I think we need to discuss both parts. The Youth by Youth short video competition and the screening of the film The Electronic Durian.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so let's start with the Youth by Youth short video competition.
Okay, right.
And the entries for the short video competition? How are the entries coming along?
Not great. We've only had 3 entries so far.
Oh.
Yeah. As we said in the committee meeting, Maud needs to change the design of the poster to try to encourage more entries.
Yes. I was thinking a bit more about Maud's poster design. I noticed that the website is on the poster, but it's the wrong one.
Really?
Yes. We changed the URL, remember?
Oh, yes. Is it still the old one on the poster?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice. Can you give it to me again? Nico will need it to tell Maud.
It's www.isvms.hk.
Okay, just to make sure, it's www.isvms.hk, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And something else I just thought of. Did Maud put a QR code on the poster?
Sorry?
Did she put a QR code on the poster?
The QR code? I don't know. I'll need to check.
Well, make sure the QR code's on the bottom left-hand corner of the poster.
Sure. I'll make a note of that. Bottom left-hand corner.
Now, you say only 3 people have entered the competition so far?
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing. Actually, I was wondering whether we should extend the deadline to the 13th of May.
You want to extend the deadline to the 13th of May? Are you sure? But isn't 13 an unlucky number?
Don't be so superstitious.
Okay, let's go with the 13th then. We will have to change it on the poster as well.
Okay.
Anyway, bad stuff does happen on the 13th. Isabel Luna, you know, the director of the Electronic Durian?
Yeah?
Well, she had her skateboarding accident on the 13th.
Well, there you go then.
Right. Let's move on to the next thing. The Bright House Cinema. As you will remember from the meeting last week, the committee are still keen for us to choose the Bright House for the screening. And Alia is going to do a site visit of Bright House Cinema tomorrow.
Sorry, wait. You say that Isabel Luna's had an accident? That's the first I've heard. I mean, does it mean she won't be able to come to the screening?
No. She's still coming to the screening. But it was quite serious, I think. I mean, she's in a wheelchair.
Really? And will that be a problem for the Bright House? The wheelchair, I mean.
Yes, well, that's what we will find out from Alia's report on her site visit, and that's why we stipulated wheelchair access to the stage in the venue requirements.
Oh, yeah. I did wonder why we put that. Yeah, well, obviously, if she's in a wheelchair, we will need a ramp to get her onto the stage for the discussion after the screening. I mean, the Bright House is a terrible cinema.
Yes, you don't need to tell me. And there's something else that I'm worried about that we didn't discuss in the committee meeting.
What's that then?
Well, you remember that the big thing about the screening of the Electronic Durian is that the audience will be wearing those 3D headsets?
Yeah.
So, it will be critical on the night that handing out the 3D headsets to the audience is done quickly. Otherwise, it will take far too long and it'll delay everything.
Yeah, otherwise it could end up being a nightmare. I'd say we'll need at least 10 ushers.
Yes, that's what I thought. At least 10 ushers. I talked to Alia, and she'll find out how many ushers Bright House has when she does the site visit tomorrow, and I'm sure it won't be 10.
Yeah.
And there's another thing that I'm worried about at the Bright House, to do with the noodles.
What do you mean, noodles?
Well, you remember that we decided that we're going to bring noodles to give out to the audience to eat during the showing of the electronic durian. You know, in the metal noodles scene.
Yeah, the metal noodles scene.
Yeah, well, I'm now worried that the Bright House won't let us. I've told Alia to ask the manager at the Bright House tomorrow if we will be allowed to bring in outside food.
I can imagine what they'll say.
Yeah, I know. The noodles are supposed to be one of our key fun elements of the evening. Having all these people eat noodles while watching the metal noodle scene, I still think it'll be hilarious. All these people trying to eat noodles with their 3D headsets on.
I agree. It would be a big loss for the whole event if they don't let us.
Well, let's wait and see what they say.
Yeah, right. Moving on. The other thing that we need to discuss is the prize-giving ceremony. Is there any news on the venue for the prize-giving ceremony?
The prize-giving ceremony? Oh, yes! I just got confirmation today. We got the Cultural Plaza in Central.
Oh, great! So we got the Cultural Plaza after all. I always said the Cultural Plaza was the best choice. It's an amazing venue, and the location, I mean, Central's such a convenient location compared to the other ones. And the date? Has a date been finalized?
Yes, it's Saturday, June the 22nd.
Wait a second. Let me just note that down. When was that?
June the 22nd.
Okay. And the time? When will it start?
Let me check. 7:30.
Okay, 7:30. Right.
Anything else that we need to discuss?
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up was the introductory speech. You know, the one on the current state of cinema.
Oh, yeah. The one that Nico will give to introduce the discussion.
Yeah. I think Nico's struggling a bit for ideas, to tell you the truth.
Well, I think talk about two things. Film viewing habits. I mean, whether people watch films at home or go to the cinema nowadays. And also talk about low-budget films compared to, like, blockbusters.
Right. Yeah, that sounds good. So what could Nico say about watching films at home or at the cinema?
Well, you remember that I went to the screening of The Electronic Durian the other night?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, these 3D headsets, you know, those 360-degree headsets?
The Janus ones?
Exactly. Well, they are absolutely fantastic and everything. But it struck me, I could have exactly the same experience sitting at home in my living room on my sofa and...
Never need to go to the cinema. Yeah, I thought that as well.
There's no point going to the cinema. Just stay at home.
Okay. And what could Nico say about low-budget films and blockbusters?
Well, I was thinking, in the last decade or so, big studios have tended to focus more and more of their resources on making expensive blockbusters for the cinema, so that they...
can make bigger profits.
Exactly. Because a studio knows that if it puts all its energy into making one successful blockbuster, like Star Wars or a Marvel superhero film, the bottom line is, it'll make bigger profits.
Yeah, I know.
And these blockbusters, the studios launch absolutely enormous multi-million dollar advertising and marketing campaigns. And small, low-budget filmmakers simply cannot compete with all that.
Yeah, I know.
If Nico could say all that in the introductory speech, and maybe add something a bit more optimistic as well, so it's not all doom and gloom, that would be great.
Yeah, okay. I'll pass on your message.
That is the end of the listening component of this paper. You will now have 1 hour and 15 minutes to complete the written task in either Part B1 or Part B2. An announcement will be made when time is up. Take off your earphones now and turn off the radio.